Well, good afternoon, everyone, and good afternoon to everybody here in Nigeria, and also to everybody else listening around the world. Greetings from Nigeria. What I think I will do today, rather than go straight into a sermon or sermonette, what I think I will do is to do a news analysis, but I'll try and do a news analysis with a very much a Nigerian flavour to it. I've got certain certain newspapers have been bought over the past week, which I've had a chance just to basically go through and pull several pages out. Also, over the last couple of weeks, we've been pulling out articles on general world news, and I've selected some of those that I think will be of interest to here in Nigeria specifically, and certainly to West Africa, but Nigeria specifically. It may seem a far way away from Nigeria, but there's an article here from Tuesday the 9th, that's a couple of weeks ago, about Iran condemned over the nuclear move that Iran is making. It says tensions between Iran and the West escalated yesterday as Tehran resumed the conversion of its uranium stocks, an early step in the preparation of nuclear weapons. Now, subsequently, there have been reports come out that, in fact, the Americans have said they're about 10 years away from a nuclear weapon, or was it 5? But it was a number of years. But you do wonder whether, in fact, that is how true that statement actually is. Now, the reason I say that is because that is linked to oil also, because Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, and all of these areas are linked to oil in one way or another, and having a nuclear power in an oil area like that is a real potential problem. Now, when we flew in to, yes, whenever it was, a couple of days ago, as we flew in, it was just starting to get light, and we noticed out, I said, oh, look, there's another aeroplane coming in to land. It's very unusual coming into Port Harcourt, and there's another aeroplane coming in at the same time. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. But it wasn't another aeroplane, because it stayed still. It didn't go anywhere. All we saw was the lights, and of course it was an oil rig off the coast, and it was one of many, many oil rigs that you see all down the coast there in River State, down in the area just off Port Harcourt as you go up towards Lagos. Nigeria is very much an oil nation, an oil-rich nation, and the revenue that Nigeria earns comes almost totally from oil, the thing that keeps the entire government going. This article, therefore, from Saturday, July the 23rd, is quite interesting. It says, oil takeover bid turns Washington's Chinese whispers into open insults. And one I'd just like to mention here, it says, on the conservative editorial pages, China features almost as often as the Islamists, as the enemy. Concerns over its expanding military and over the threat to American jobs from a soaring trade imbalance have come to a head over the attempted takeover of Unocal, seen on Capitol Hill as a corporate equivalent of a military bridgehead. It could be a perfect storm, said a senior administration official. Another one, again, this is from July 21st, says China's anger at the rude US report on its military expansion. And Beijing hit back immediately and angrily yesterday with the long-awaited Pentagon report that warned of an aggressive Chinese military buildup, calling it groundless and gratuitous and rude. So there is confrontation at the moment between America and China, and there is a war of words at the moment. Now, that's not going to be the final situation in the world. Prophetically, it's going to be Europe that is the dominant power on the Western side, and China-Russia alliance, which will be the dominant power on the Eastern side. America and Britain will not figure in that final situation. There will be, if anything, there will be captive slaves of the European powers at that time. So something dramatic is going to take place between now and then, and we do realize that that is the case. But here, when we're looking at this, we need to understand something else, that it is the oil takeover bid, and it is this takeover bid of oil, the fact that they are trying to, the China is actually trying to move into the oil areas. They're trying to get control of the oil areas. They are, I believe they're actually buying from Nigeria, as far as I know. At least they're certainly trying to, if they're not doing so. And that is going to have a bearing. It's going to have a bearing on Nigeria. It will have a bearing on the East-West relationships. It will have a bearing on the rise of the communist Eastern forces. So we, within the church, must watch this area very carefully. Oil seems to be a crucial area of contention. We've always, within the work, looked at oil as this potential. And now what is happening is the demand for oil is going up all the time, and the supply of oil is slowly coming down. And right now, or just around this time that we're in now, the oil demand has not, or the supply is crossed. So we're now entering into a very unstable time. We're right at that crucial time at the moment. That's why oil is very, very important. Here in Nigeria, oil is about 70 naira a litre. If you work it out, I'll need somebody else to work that out, 250 naira to the pound. So whatever that is, it's only a few pence per litre, about 20 pence, something like that. Whereas in the UK, it's getting on for, it's 95 pence. So it's significantly more. Other things that are actually taking place in this area of the world, and that is, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the lack of rain that there's been in this area compared with previous times. It also is affecting not just here in Nigeria, in fact it's affecting Nigeria less than other areas, but in Niger, which is just north, and we flew over Niger as we came down here, it says call for aid as the Niger faces famine. Now, this was from July the 21st, and we've had much more publicity of the famine which is in Niger, called by locusts that have come in and stripped everything bare, plus the famine that was there because of a drought. And it says, United Nations appealed yesterday for emergency help to avoid a devastating famine in Niger. The West African state has been hit by crop failure, drought, and a plague of locusts. Now that obviously also comes down and affects this area because your northern borders butt up to Niger anyway. But in addition, the river Niger, which comes in from Ghana, and that area, the hills above Ghana, go and flow, and it forms the border of the Togo, is it, and Niger anyway? Is it the border there? Because it flows right the way around and comes in into Nigeria. So that also is going to have impact in this area of the world, in West Africa. So as these problems increase, and certainly whether it's global warming or whether it's just global change, we're not sure, but there is a change within weather patterns. All of these things are having an influence within the way in which countries deal with each other, and this also is something we need to watch. Even in the UK, we find here an article from July the 25th, the showers will barely dent the drought. This is the UK now. And we don't have drought in the UK to speak of, but we have. The rainfall is much, much less. It says rainfall has been welcomed by gardeners who will have little effect on the depleted reservoirs. The showers have brought relief to some gardeners over the weekend, will do nothing to reduce the risk of more hosepipe bans this summer, it's warned. So they're curbing the use of water within the UK. It's all part of global change, and there is this shift in the global weather patterns. In the United States, we see areas that are drier now for longer than they were in the Dust Bowl areas of the 30s. So this also is having an effect. And again, prophetically, we need to watch this, because we can see the way the nations and the way that the structures between the nations will work is that you will have the area of Ephraim and Manasseh, which will come down and become slaves eventually. You'll have Europe, which will be the dominant Western force, and you'll have this coalition between probably India, probably China, almost certainly China, and also up into Russia and the Russian area as well, which will eventually sweep across to confront what will be known as the beast power, eventually, or certainly is known in prophecy. Now, within the nation itself, I'd like to just read you, just to give you some kind of an idea, the people primarily who are listening in, some kind of an idea of what in fact is happening here. I'm not going to use, I don't even know whether I'll use the Bible. I think there's too many articles I'd like to actually read today, but I think some of this is going to be of interest to many. When we were travelling from Port Harcourt up to Owerri, we noticed a difference. And the difference we noticed was that the police roadblocks, which normally you'd have two roadblocks, maybe three, but there must have been six, seven, eight, something like that, roadblocks as we actually travelled up from Port Harcourt to Owerri from the airport there, which is just over an hour's journey, the way we were driving. So it's just over an hour's journey. And these roadblocks were quite substantial. They would stop you and you'd have to weave back and forth, and that was something new with your blocks on the road to stop the traffic from doing anything to going straight through. And I found out later that what had happened 2 weeks ago in Owerri here is that every road into the town, what's the population? Is it about 20,000 more? How many? 40,000, about 40,000 people here in Owerri. So it gives you some kind of an idea of the size of the town. But at night, in the early hours of the morning, the bandits blocked every single road into the town. Every road was blocked. And they then, well, let me read what in fact it says here. It says, the story was once told of a group of armed robbers. Oh no, let's have a look. Where are we? We're missing with it. You heard the recent Owerri bank robbery, didn't you? This is coming from a newspaper. It says, the robbers, upon arriving at the vicinity of the bank, mounted a public address system on one of their vehicles and began to drive around the area. We are armed robbers. We have come to rob the bank. Now, basically, they did that because their friends had also surrounded the entire town here, and this happened about 2 weeks ago. And it says, we've come to rob the bank. We have not come for you. Please cooperate. Stay in your homes. We don't want to harm anybody. And according to the account of the sordid event, the rally went on for at least 30 minutes before the operation proper commenced. So they went around telling everybody exactly what they were about to do, warning everybody to stay inside, and then proceeded to rob the, what is it, something trust bank? Standard Trust Bank within Owerri. And they did that convinced that they would not be disturbed because they'd already surrounded the town. Now, I think people that are listening to me now understand a little bit more about what you have to live in here within Nigeria. It's a very different kind of country. But it says here, it says, for 30 minutes before the operation proper commenced, and of course the residents of Owerri from the Okodaman, whoever that is, that's presumably a leader, is it? To the so-called security chiefs of the state, cooperated with the robbers. Nobody made firm until the men of the world, using this sarcastically, because rather than the men of the underworld, it's the men of the world now, because they're the ones that are the standard here, had their fill, bombarding the area for at least 6 hours non-stop, right the way through until probably daybreak. We were told that the residents of Owerri were quite grateful to the robbers for leaving them alone and just for going for the money there. He says, in fact, I hear that the most ordinary Nigerians across the country have agreed to continue to cooperate with armed robbers, providing they would leave them alone and go for the type of operation they had in Owerri, striking banks, government offices, etc., in the safety of darkness. Now, that does say something about the area. When the world is thrown into turmoil, there is going to be some real problems here. You're going to have, at the moment, the police can't cope with the robbery that is here already, and they've got to bring in the army. But if when certain things do occur, there are some real problems here. This is why we do need to make sure that our strength, our help, everything that we have is from God. It's not from us. We can't do it. Not even the police can go ahead and do it. And I think that people generally within this country do understand a great deal of that. There is a much greater understanding of religion in this country compared to, say, the West. Now, if I just give you an example as far as the West is concerned, here is the Pope going home. This is from Saturday, August the 13th. This is the Daily Telegraph over in the UK now. Going home to challenge the godless Germans who are hooked on having fun. Now, this is the Pope, the leader of the Catholic Church, going into Germany, which is his home country. And it says, as homecomings go, the Pope's first foreign visit since he became leader of the world's 1 billion Roman Catholics will be bittersweet. About 500,000 young people will next week welcome the Pope Benedict on his World Youth Day celebrations in Germany, a display of religious faith testifying to his church's vigour. But his return to the land of his birth will also be a confrontation between an austere enforcer of doctrinal orthodoxy and a country that embodies the secular, godless culture that he rails against. Now, we need to understand that when we look in Revelation, we're looking at the beast and a false prophet, and there is going to be a religious revival that will cause what we see. We see a backlash against the church, we see a backlash against the Sabbath, the enforcement of Sunday, and this particular Pope is all for Sunday. It says here, it says, people no longer have any idea of the difference between good and evil. This is people in the West. It says, religion is simply one of a range of experiences in life, tacked on alongside hobbies, sports, holidays and relationships, the German weekly Die Zeit reported recently. It says, the imminent arrival back home of the first German Pope for 482 years has provoked some excitement, but of a type that only highlights the country's priorities. The interest is not in the message, but for example, his love of cats. Its magazines offer him tips of how to get rid of the dark circles underneath his eyes. This is coming in from the newspapers in Germany. Or suggests that more Germans should follow his example and invest in an exercise bicycle. Do you see the difference? Here is the head of the Catholic Church coming to its own people, and that is the result of the papers and the advice that's going there. Over here in Nigeria, there's a paper, the Daily Sun. Now in the United Kingdom we also have the Sun, and this is on the par with the Sun, but it is nothing like it in many ways. The Sun over there is, you would call it pornographic, quite frankly. They're page 3, I should not turn to, you know, we men should not turn to, because it's not, you know, we have a page 3 in this Sun as well, but nothing at all. The young lady is completely covered, over with us it's not. But here we have a page, page 14, the page is Me and My God, and this is within Nigeria. It says, congratulatory message from his wife of many years on the occasion of commissioning a multi-million naira St. Andrew's Church building that he supervised. It's talking about Henry, well, basically, Nwana, I think his name is. It says Afam Nwana, executive chairman of Mossad Nigeria Limited, noting nothing succeeds without God. This is what he says, and there can be no success that is sweet and enduring as success okayed by God. And he goes into his relationship with God in the major paper, the head of a major company within Nigeria. Now, to you, when I'm telling you this here in Nigeria, you think, well, what is the problem with that? You know, so? Because that's the way it is here. But I can guarantee you, everybody that's listening to me here in Europe is saying, how incredible, because there's nothing like that. You've seen this, you know, this was what, from this past couple of weeks, about the Pope's homecoming and the kind of you know, things that are being said there. Another one, miracle seekers are cheats, and it goes in to say, this particular naturopath is writing, he says, believes people should see and treat religion strictly as a personal affair rather than something to make unnecessary noise about. In religion, you don't impose your beliefs on anybody, and those that do not share the same religious belief as you should not be intimidated in any form. No religion is greater than the other, and each of them in search of the truth, he intones. Now, this is an unusual view within Nigeria, I would say. That's not the general view of the Hausas in the north and the Igbos in the south. But nevertheless, it's a view that's being expressed within the paper. And I'm bringing it out because this view is so unusual to find within a national... It's a national newspaper, isn't it, son? So it's a national... It's certainly... And another one, people who do not believe in visions perish, by somebody else making this statement. It goes on about the various things that they see there. Another one here, and this is a two-page pull-out from... this is another one called The Rising Sun. probably wanting to take over the sun's circulation, but it's called the rising sun. And this pullout is a special report called Christians Seek the Face of God for the Governor, Orji Uzora Kalu. Is that how you pronounce it? Okay. Governor Caro. June the 3rd, 2005, added another feather into the life of Governor Caro of Abia State. Is it Abia? Abia State, and his quest for the nation's number one job, the presidency. So he's after the presidency. And here's this paper saying, this was the day members of St. Paul's Anglican Church, Kirikiri, their friends and well-wishers, went on their knees to ask God to immediately come down and join Governor Caro's campaign train to make him the president of the Federal Republic of Nigeria come 2007. In fact, the good Lord who made the day possible after the early morning rains was on the side of the amiable governor of Ibo State, Caro, who stormed the venue with his team from Abia as the rains did not disturb proceedings, allowing Christians and non-Christians to converge on St. Paul's. Now, basically, it then goes into a pictorial, and the pictorial of all the things that were going on at this particular meeting where they went and got on their knees and asked God to intervene within the politics. This pictorial is complete. You know, that is what the pictorial is about. It is something you think about the UK, and you imagine Mr. Blair doing that. It's just unheard of. It just would not be the case. At the same time, there's the things going on in the world, and also in Nigeria. The Israelis are leaving Gaza at the moment. You've probably seen it in the news here as well. The Israelis are leaving Gaza in exchange for peace. They're wanting peace, and the political forces and the terrorism and so on. And the idea, probably from President Sharon, is to make sure that the West Bank is not vacated. He can hang on to the West Bank, but the trauma that came over Gaza alone, which is relatively minor, would allow him to do that. But that's not within the Palestinians' mind. And there is a potential for real problems down in that area between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And the indication is that there are going to be problems. It is going to involve Europe. And Europe will come down into the area and surround Jerusalem with armies, stopping the daily sacrifice taking place. So the Israelis are going to have to take a stranglehold on that West Bank, and you'll find that in the end of Daniel and in Matthew 24. They will put a stranglehold on the West Bank, and therefore this withdrawal from Gaza is very significant. It means that they're trying to put their claws, if you like, onto the West Bank, maintain that stranglehold there. And this also is indicated when you understand the sacrifices will begin around the Temple Mount, in the Temple area, because they've got to stop when the armies come down from the north and surround Jerusalem. That's the abomination that makes desolate. It surrounds Jerusalem just prior to desolating Jerusalem. It is interesting that at the same time down here, there is a problem in this area. And this one from the Rising Sun here is talking about a warning shot. Biafra is coming. The National Security Advisor to President Obasanjo is saying this. Also, Ikweris, is it? Ikweris? Ikwere are not Igbos. This is another a great political, or it's a tribal debate that's going on. It goes on for page after page within this paper. And there is a feeling that of Biafra. Now, Biafra back in the 60s, when the Biafran War took place, the Igbos fought the rest of the Nigerian army. And this, again, is another problem, a potential problem. There are two tribes involved, and there are separate tribes, let's say the Palestinians and the Israelis. You know, the Israelis and Palestinians are separate tribes, so are the Igbos and the other tribes as well. It's interesting that when you look at Nigerian newspapers, I just pulled another couple of several sheets out of the paper, because to us it is very unusual. In this particular Daily Champion paper, on page 20, they give a home studies course. And is this a regular feature? Is that a regular feature? So they have a home studies course that somebody who buys the paper then it goes into chemistry and chemistry mixtures and tells you about chemistry, English and the tenses and the grammar that is there, biology, the sense of sight, and so on. And it goes on for 2 pages. In addition, there's an article here in this same paper about Bolyai, I think his name is, who is the father of hyperbolic geometry. Now, you simply would not find this in a paper, a normal, national paper back in the West. The education that is there doesn't go into the depth that you've got here in the normal newspaper that somebody can go ahead and read. You'd have to have a specialist paper for that. I think what I'll do is I'll just end on a lighter note. And this is one thing that I noticed in the paper. It says a young man in his late 20s, simply identified as a name I can't pronounce, on Wednesday had his right hand glued to his pocket for several hours. And what had happened, an eyewitness, Mr. William Albenzi, told the Daily Champion that the herbal medicine seller, it says basically what happened is he was trying to exploit money from a herbal medicine dealer in Upper Iweke, Onitsha, and in Onitsha it is. And this herbal medicine seller was approached by this man, and he demanded 500 naira before the medicine seller could display his wares. And the medicine seller said no, he refused, and finally got it down to 200 naira, which he paid. So he gave the man 200 naira. But as this individual walked away with the 200 naira in his pocket, putting it inside his pocket with his right hand, his hand got stuck to the pocket, and the efforts to bring it out failed because the medicine seller had put something on the naira, stuck his hand in it, put it in the pocket, and he couldn't get his hand out of the pocket. And it says, his colleagues and other people joined in appealing to the herbal medicine man to bring this hand out. And he said that they had initially refused and continued with selling his medicines, saying that he travelled to Lagos in the north to sell his medicines, and noted that nobody ever collected bribes from him. Which I thought was quite interesting and quite humorous in many ways. But as I say, it's very much a different state over here from what you'd find. But anyway, I thought that was quite interesting. So, I think with that, as I say, I didn't want to really take away from the actually reading the newspapers. But if we can have another hymn then, and then we'll go in for the sermon for today.